The referee must typically be inside the ring to make a legal three count during a match. Where did the referee count?
On the damn apron.
The matchup never should have ended. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to season 4 of the Ramblin' Bout Wrestling podcast. I am your host. I'm back and I'm better than ever, Nick Pearl. And today I'm joined by my cousin's boyfriend, a very nice guy. Me and him, we hit it off. We went on a very nice date to Saturday night's main event the other night. I'm joined by Colin. Colin, how we doing?
I'm doing phenomenal. Thank you for having me, Mr. Nicholas.
Oh, I just like listening to your voice.
Oh, stop.
It's so
stop
soothing.
It. Oh, don't do that. No. She's on the bed back here. She's going to get upset that I'm flirting in front of her.
Why does it keep turning red?
I don't know why it keeps turning red.
Did she see that too?
Yeah, she's like, maybe it's the light on my desk, but if I turn the light on my desk off.
No, then it's like sepia.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
So Saturday night's main event.
Yeah.
We're going to get into all of our thoughts and everything. But first of all, I just want to thank you again for driving my sick belly, my freaking stomach virus.
It's okay. You're going to pay for my medical bills when I eventually go into Stony Brook University for whatever unknown disease you gave me in the car.
Nah, you're fine.
But no, it was my pleasure. It was a great time. Parking got me good, but it was a great time.
Yeah, we couldn't find the car when we got back out. It's a good thing I took a picture. Good thing I took a picture of the screen at the front of the building.
Oh, thank God.
We never would have found that angle.
That would have been like a 40-minute ordeal trying to find my car.
That would have been insane. Biggest mistake of the night, going and waiting on that line outside and not having a jacket. We had our sweatshirts, but why do we think that was a good idea?
I don't even think I wore a sweatshirt.
You had something on.
I had like a weird sweatshirt, t-shirt combo thing, but I was not expecting it to be that cold. That was brutal. It started to hurt after a while.
15,000 people.
15,000. It was like 15,080 something.
Something along those lines. I think it had to end up being a sellout because we were waiting online. There were like 60 tickets left.
Yeah, when we were waiting online, and even when we were inside after our 40-minute ordeal waiting outside, the line was still wrapped around the building.
I couldn't believe that. People are insane. I mean, if it's cold, I understand not getting there wanting to stand, but you're still going to have to stand there the same amount of time but at the end of the day, especially if you want to get there for bell time. Even though we were a little far, we could still see everything fine.
It was phenomenal seats. It was phenomenal. Yeah. We still had a whole shot of the ramp. We could see everybody coming in and out of Gorilla. It was great.
Only issue, the freaking lights. The whole night. I don't understand why they had to have them so bright.
I know. That was the first time that I was at a wrestling event where I had people chanting about turning the lights off.
I couldn't stand being at a bigger show with those lights.
Oh yeah, like when you're gonna go to Vegas for WrestleMania.
Oh, I'm going to Vegas. Wait, I'm going to Vegas. I'm going to Mania.
Should I not have said that?
No, I'm kidding. The light, the red light. It's every time you back up. Look.
Oh.
All right, so let's get into this card a little bit. We can talk about the seats for hours and complain and not complain. I want to talk about the matches. Sami Zayn versus Drew McIntyre, a matchup that we all thought was going to be kind of a squash, didn't end up being a squash. Solid opener to this show. I mean, Sami Zayn held his own against Drew McIntyre more than we thought. Sami Zayn could have pulled the upset off. Didn't happen, but he got close. Do you think this was the right call, having McIntyre go 10 minutes with him?
I think so. I think it was a good match overall. Obviously, the performance of the match, Drew and Sammy are two of the best in the business.
I made a comment to you before that I was worried that if it was a squash match for Sammy, that it was going to ruin his credibility with his involvement in the whole Bloodline feud and where that's going. Now, obviously, Sammy lost the match, which I feel like everyone saw coming. I don't want them to throw Sami Zayn into the mix here and then have him lose all these matches and lose all ounce of credibility as a formidable opponent for anybody in the Bloodline or whoever they set him up with next. But I can't say that I'm mad. Obviously, this wasn't supposed to be the match that Sammy was supposed to be in for this event. But overall, I feel like they they were able to pull off a last minute change well, and the match was entertaining regardless.
Yeah, really fun match. Bronson Reed, I think it was going to be Bronson Reed versus Seth Rollins instead of having Sami Zayn on the card or whatever it was. Or I don't know if Drew just fit into Bronson Reed's spot. Fortunately, Bronson Reed suffered an injury in the War Games match. Broken foot, just underwent surgery, probably missing WrestleMania, which is very unfortunate because the guy was on a roll. Really, I would have had him at the front of the line to actually win the Rumble. Go for the world championship. Whenever he comes back, I'm sure he's going to get there. Give him the chamber, give him something. He'll be a world champion. I got high hopes for this guy. But now you slide Drew McIntyre in there. I think the story they're going with now is Drew never really got the opportunity to defeat the Bloodline. He just fell to Roman Reigns like everybody else did. As he was walking backstage, I don't know if you saw online, he goes, one down, four to go.
McIntyre went through the whole thing with Sammy and Jay's reunion with Roman, and obviously that affirmed his belief that obviously like people don't change, that kind of thing. So I can see where this lineup is going.
Drew McIntyre, you can even compare him to what's going on with Kevin Owens right now, where they're the heels, but are they really the heels? Or their actions can be justified. You know, Kevin Owens spinning Cody Rhodes. He teamed with his biggest opponent, and now they're all right after all the hell that Roman Reigns put Cody Rhodes through, and Kevin Owens especially. It doesn't make sense for Kevin to forgive Cody. And now Drew, Seth Rollins helped Roman Reigns. CM Punk helped Roman Reigns. Drew hates both of them. Drew's justified in everything he's doing, much like Kevin Owens. So these two heels, the biggest heels that people want to see, that are just different, which, thank God, you know, we need something fresh.
Yeah, I was about to say, it was funny how, especially with later on in the show, you would see it more, but you saw this support of people rallying behind Drew during this match, because like you said, I really, in this case, he's considered a heel just because he's going against Sammy, who's a babyface. But that's really it. Other than that, like you just said, all the actions that made Drew feel the way that he does about everything is justified. So, like you said, is he really a heel, or is he just being considered a heel because he's going against a baby face? So it was nice to see that there are people rallying behind Drew, even though he wasn't necessarily, like we always say, the baby face of the match, where that's where you normally see all the support go.
With all the support Drew's been getting, even online, he's been sharing some of his personal struggles. We'll see if he gets another world title opportunity.
I think you should.
He definitely deserves it, but if it happens, remains to be seen. But the longer you keep him away, the more people are going to want to see it. So a long build. We'll see how we get there. Moving on to the women's world title match. This is a match that a lot of people that we're watching on television, they said it was the worst on the card, which I don't believe because I thought it was one of the best matches of the whole night. Liv Morgan going up against Io Sky, Liv retaining her championship, banger of a match. Io Sky clearly a placeholder feud. The big money match here. I don't know if you do it at WrestleMania or if you do it at the next Saturday night's main event or if you do it at the Royal Rumble. Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley.
If she does not get this win, when she does face Liv, regardless whether or not it's at Mania, if they do it at the Rumble, I guarantee you they'll probably do it at the Rumble. Liv will somehow retain, or there'll be an interference, then it'll go to Mania. But I think it's gotten to a point now where Rhea's got to take the title. It's being built up in such a way where if you don't, there's going to be an uproar like you've never seen. Obviously, if that were to happen, where do you go from there? What's next for Rhea? She just has the belt. You know what I mean?
You don't want to get Rhea caught in that holding pattern too, especially if she has the belt. A lot of people forget when she was the champion before, when she had it last time, it was a really freaking long reign. And then she got injured and had to vacate it, right? She never actually lost it.
Yeah, she had to give it up. I think that was with like her, was that the arm? Something
I
with her
think
arm?
that was the arm. So you give her the belt back, and then you're in the same position that you were with her.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think she needs the belt. I think Liv as she's been doing a great job, especially now. Her reign is finally starting to get some traction. If you give it to Rhea, I don't know. I wouldn't, I mean, the matches will be great. Don't get me wrong. I don't know if I want another Rhea reign. We know how it goes.
Liv needed this reign to bring her to the level of stardom that she deserved in the WWE. I feel like Rhea got that stardom without it, and like you said, doesn't need it. Obviously, it seems like the next best step to obviously give the belt to Rhea, but then at that point, who's going to challenge her? Who's the next up? Charlotte Flair's going to come back.
They've done that a bunch of times too, even though they're all great. They're all
If they
great
were,
though.
they were great matches, but how many times can we pull the cookie cutter? You know what I mean? How many times are we gonna have the same exact match? So that's a great point that you bring up. I don't know where the best place to go with this is. Like you said, I don't think Rhea needs the belt. I think she was able to build the traction behind her just by being her, just having an aura about her that connects with the audience more than Liv's does, ideally. But I feel like the only person that benefited from this whole feud in regards to the belt is Liv, because that's what she needed to kind of bring her to the spotlight. And she's great as a heel. She's a good heel.
Moving on to a title reign that a lot of people recently, which I'm kind of shocked by, have been saying has been a little stale at compared to his Intercontinental Championship reign. You got Gunther defending that world championship against Damian Priest and Finn Balor. It was supposed to be a singles match between Gunther and Finn Balor, one that we were supposed to get a couple of years ago back at NXT UK TakeOver. Nah, let's put Damian Priest in there. So I'm sure we'll get the match eventually. For a house show match, this was good. That's how I compare it to. Finn obviously in there to take the pin, which is exactly what happened. Priest looked good. The finishing sequence, I love how Gunther just spams finisher. All he does, powerbomb, 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 clothesline. Like,
It's
there's
great.
nobody else that does it like that.
Dude, Gunther is just, he's a freak. He's one of a kind. And it's not even just his character, it's his in-ring performance. No one is just, he's very good at being himself. He has his thing. It's not strong style. He's not a high flyer. He's got his thing. And he is so damn good at it that every time I watch a match of his, I'm always just like in awe with how he performs and how he his chops. There's no one chops like him right now. It's just,
I'd be shocked if anybody chopped like him.
I know, dude, that one chop specifically, we heard that from the section we were in. That was brutal.
Oh my God. And you look at their chests after.
Oh my God. But
You
I
couldn't
feel
pay
like,
me enough to take that.
oh my God, I couldn't even, I don't even want to take one. No thanks. I feel like Gunther retaining was made the most sense in regards to the storyline of how or where he is in his title reign. I do agree that I feel like this title reign is not as ambitious as his last. But overall, he's a phenomenal in-ring performer. They all are, and I feel like the match ended where it should have.
These three come January with the Netflix deal. They may be on different shows. You could have one on Raw, one on SmackDown, one on NXT. They might not be able to do another match involving these three for another year or two.
If we're lucky, could even be longer than that.
We got a very historic moment. Okay. And this one that I'm talking about, the first ever Women's United States champion was crowned, the inaugural champion. And this was the first thing announced on the card, by the way. And this is what made me want to go. I know people are like, oh, you don't want to see Cody Rhodes wrestle. You don't want to see this. I wanted to see Women's United States champion just to say I was there. Chelsea Green going up against Mee Chin, most unpredictable match you could have had. The two people that deserved it the most out of anybody on that entire brand. Chelsea Green, first Women's United States champion. A lot of it was rushed. I'm only going to remember the finish where Chelsea did the She flipped over the top and hit the unprettier.
I can't do that. But I feel like that counter was something new. It was a counter that I haven't seen a counter like that in a long time. I haven't seen a counter like that since they threw JD off the top of the War Games cage and Randy hit him with the RKO. I haven't seen a counter like that where I was like, oh, that was sick. And I could see that being a future spot going forward. Because I feel I correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe she's done a counter like this with her finisher ever. Was it a little rushed? Yes. Was the outcome what everyone wanted? Yes.
100%. I honestly thought going into this, Meechan was going to pull it off. But then Chelsea did get some momentum. She defeated Bayley. Like, Bayley's a former women's champion. And Chelsea hadn't been beating anybody before that. So, she kind of just, Chelsea, you know what? Here, throw you in the water. Try to float. And she did. Crowd, I thought was going to be split 50-50, but every overwhelming support for Chelsea Green.
Everybody in the building.
Overwhelming the pop when she got that pin.
Yeah,
Goosebumps,
it was.
goosebumps.
It was. I was very surprised. Like you said, I was expecting it not to be as 50-50. Like I knew people were really favoring Chelsea for this one, me as well. But the amount of people that were behind her and seeing the overwhelming reaction of the 15,000 plus people in that arena when she got that the full three count was insane. And I'm happy that she's finally getting some more recognition. And I feel like with Chelsea Green, there is obviously she's with Matt Cardona. And I feel like she tended to be her run kind of threw her in the shadow of Matt Cardona, regardless of him being in Indies and her being in the biggest wrestling entertainment business in the world. She was still kind of in that shadow. And I feel like now she's getting that ability to step out of that shadow and make a name for herself instead of just being known as Matt Cardona's wife. You know what I mean?
It's not like she hasn't had the opportunity to try and shine, but every other time that she's had it, like she in NXT, she had a match, she hurt herself, she was out. Then she gets called up to SmackDown, first match on SmackDown, she hurts herself, then she gets released. No injuries anymore. Now she's got a championship, inaugural champion. Let's see what she can do.
Regardless of whether or not the reign is going to be long or it's going to be short, it's going to be memorable or it's not, she's going to get a push out of this, and she's going to get an attention out of this that has never been able to get on her own. So I feel like regardless of how this reign ends, the fact that she was the first inaugural Women's United States champion is going to set her up for such bigger things down the line.
Chelsea Green, put her on that pedestal. You will always and forever be known as the first ever WWE Women's United States Champion.
USA.
USA.
USA. USA.
Going on to the matchup that we all came to see, most excited for. People probably thought I was kind of dumb for thinking that Kevin Owens was going to walk away with the championship, but I convinced a ton of people that was going to happen.
You had me for a little bit.
I did. I mean, it made sense. Kevin Owens taking away the Winged Eagle belt that Cody wanted to bring in. Look, it doesn't matter. I'm getting all aggravated. Cody Rhodes defeats Kevin Owens in a 12-minute match. Not as good as their prior match, but the moment at the end is what we're going to talk about. And the finish, so stupid. I got to pull this up in the text messages, Colin, because Kevin Owens, he was cheated. Jesse the Body Ventura clearly can see what most cannot. Owens cheated by the refs. And if you look at the official rule book by ChatGPT in WWE, this is an official rule. The referee must typically be inside the ring to make a legal three count during a match. In standard matches, that is the case. Where did the referee count?
On the damn apron.
He counted on the apron on the outside of the ring. Therefore, the matchup never should have ended. Kevin Owens should not have been pinned by Cody Rhodes in that moment. Also, Kevin Owens got hit. He never hit Cody with the steel chair. Cody Rhodes used the steel chair to cheat. Kevin's not wrong. Kevin's in the right.
There's got to be an angle to that. You know that's going to be brought up later. But, of course, they're going to end it in the most lackluster way possible. Kevin coming back and completely destroying Cody, I felt like was perfect. I felt like it was exactly what the people wanted.
The most lackluster finish I think I've ever seen at a live show. Just ending the match out of nowhere. It was confirmed. This is on WWE's X page, by the way, formerly known as Twitter. It was confirmed that Cody Rhodes suffered cervical swelling and was kept overnight at a local hospital for observation. While X-rays were negative for a fracture, Rhodes has been officially diagnosed with axial compression of the cervical spine as well as cervical strain with spasm.
Oof.
Does not sound fun. This may be their way of taking the belt off of him and actually having Owens be the champ. It could be a genius way of taking him out of the picture, something nobody thought would happen, especially leading into WrestleMania, where Cody was most likely going to be dancing with The Rock. If you look back to The Rock and Cody Rhodes when they had their in-ring segment the last time, well, not the last time, second to last time The Rock was in the ring, Rock said, I think that's genius. Cody Rhodes still gets that marquee match, still gets the WrestleMania main event. Kevin Owens can win the WWE Championship, have a short reign, feud with Randy Orton for the belt. Cody could still have that Randy Orton feud that we knew we were going to have, and Cody could just get the belt off of Orton. Owens will just get a, they'll just flip-flop the belt a little bit. Usually, I don't like flip-flopping the world title. In this case, we haven't done it in a while. What the hell? Let's do it.
Now, here's my thing. It's a great idea to pull Cody out of the limelight. Now, not obviously not just as a way to rip the title off of people, but to remind people, hey, WWE's got more people than just Cody. And obviously, Cody's great. Cody's phenomenal. We all know who he is and his importance to WWE, not just him, but the Rhodes family. But the removal of Cody from the picture brings so many possible ideas and storylines and feuds that are going to create memorable moments, whether or not it's at Mania or Rumble or whatever. So like you said, I feel like Cody being removed from the limelight and either having him relinquish the title and have it put up for grabs, and have, you know, whoever fight for it is a good idea.
They got to be careful with how they go about this now, because the package pile driver been banned from WWE for years. They're booking it as if it's the most dangerous move you could ever hit on a person. Randy Orton got hit with it how many weeks ago?
It's two, three weeks ago.
2 or 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
So if in reality, Cody can't come back before Orton, it wouldn't make sense. Cody's attack was more brutal. At least in my eyes, it was.
Yeah.
Orton would have to come back first. But if this is the most dangerous move that you can take, if this is on the level of the Tiger Driver that Will Ospreay does, this move needs to keep them both out for a long period of time. Perfect for Kevin Owens to have a short reign as world champion. He's taken out all the competition. Cody Rhodes ran through everybody already. Randy Orton could slide him in whenever the hell you want. Perfect time to do it. Cody's reign as champ, it's a lot of the same. Going into WrestleMania, something's got to be fresh, and this could be that fresh thing.
Yeah, I was about to say, finishing the story was nice while it lasted, but I feel like it's time for a fresh breath of air, and it's time to put that championship on someone that could bring something new to the table instead of the usual Cody argues with someone, they have a match, Cody wins, Cody argues with someone. Cody has a match, Cody wins. Cody argues with someone, yada, 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 continuing. But I would like to see somehow how they're going to give the title up. I don't know if they're going to do a, what's called, relinquishing thing where he's going to come up and be like, I can't wrestle for whatever amount of time, throw the title up, have a match to determine who the number one contender is, and then, or who the next two people are to take it, Kevin Owens obviously being one of them. But I think it's about time that the Cody reign ends. And I think it's important for Cody's character that it does so that people don't get tired of him. I don't want them to Roman Reigns him, where they just overpush him and overbook him to the point where people are nauseated by the thought of Cody Rhodes.
And you can't have him like a Super Cena either.
No.
I'm in favor of stripping him. Honestly, people may not like it. Sorry. Overall thoughts of this show. It was just a fun time.
Yeah, it was overall, it was great. It was nothing, it didn't overstay its welcome. Did it feel rushed? Yes. But even with the five matches and even with the time that they were given, they still, I feel like they made the most of it in most of the matches. And I felt like there was still something memorable to pull away from that night.
Yeah, and I had a great time sitting next to you.
Oh, stop.
There's going to be a lot more in our future.
100%. I can't wait to start going to these indie shows again.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to take you all over the place.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's going to be great. We're going to hold hands. I'm going to make my cousin jealous.
Oh, it's going to be great. I think she's asleep.
She fell asleep. We bored her to death.
I think we may have bored her to death.
I can't believe it. So, Saturday night's main event, big success. The first one live on NBC in a very, very long time. Colin, where can we find you? Because I know you're a musician.
I am. Oh, we're getting a plug now.
I'll
Well,
get you a plug. I'm a
I
nice guy.
appreciate it. I appreciate it. Well, obviously, you can find me myself on Instagram. It's gonna be my first name, Collin, last name Klein, like Calvin with three N's. So it's Klein. I am the guitar player in a local metalcore band called Desolate Son. You could find us online anywhere at Desolate Son Cult. And yeah, that's it. We're on everything. You can find us on Spotify. You should listen. I think you should. I think you should. I don't.
If you listen to the Rambling About Wrestling podcast on Spotify, you should go right over and listen to Colin right after.
I think you should. I think you should. It's a seamless transition. You could put it in the queue. I'm just saying.
Oh, speaking of transition, maybe I'll make that one of the transition songs in the episode, or maybe the outro song if you want to send me one.
Oh, I could definitely send it to you. I can do that. I'll send that over to you 100%.
Send me a good one. Do you have? Yeah, send me a good one.
Oh, we got good ones. I'll send you a good one.
Send me a good one.
All right.
So by the time you're hearing us talking about this, there will already have been transition music made by Colin and his
Oh
band.
yeah. Oh yeah. Credits to the man himself. Who is that? Who is that? Who?
Who are we talking about,
I
Colin?
think that's me.
Wait, what was your band again?
Desolate Son.
Oh, Desolate Son. Thank you all for popping on to season four, episode one of the Ramblin' About Wrestling podcast. I have been your host, as always, Nick Pearl, joined once again by Colin, my cousin's, I like this guy a lot, my cousin's boyfriend.
Oh no.
He's my new boy. He's my new boy.
Yeah, that's my boy. That's my boy right here, Nick Pearl, the man himself, Mr.
Oh,
Ramblin'
yeah.
About Wrestling.
There you go. We'll catch you on the next one, guys. Let's keep rambling, everybody.